The Daylen Kuntz Show, presented by Top Shelf Printers and Renaissance Insurance Group. Now, with Daylen Kuntz, here's Brady Hall.
That's right. Welcome in. The weather and everything kind of forced us to reschedule for today. The Daylen Kuntz Show today, presented, of course, by Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printers. Appreciate their support as always. Got Daylen in studio. It's pretty cool. In studio before a big one tonight going up against Eastern Washington. You got through the snow okay a little bit yesterday. It was kind of a battle for you, right?
Yeah, it was a little battle. I got stuck in the apartment complex a few times.
Okay, so can you take us through kind of that process? You're like, how do we get out here? Because what happens on days like this? UNC cancels. The school closes down. What does that mean for you guys? Is Coach Smiley saying, hey, we're still going to find a way to practice at some point because we got a big game tomorrow?
So at first we weren't really sure if the facility stuff were closed, but we ended up figuring out they were closed. So we had to, go online but we did over the computer and stuff. We did Zoom
meetings and stuff,
did some film and stuff over there. And he was just like, we're trying to figure out, we still get in the gym. If we get in the gym, it'll be at 3:00. And then we was able to get in. So we had to go out there and, dig out the cars and just trying to find a way to get to the gym.
So did you dig your car out, or are you all kind of carpooling, working together here? What's that like?
A little bit of both. So me and my teammate Bryce. So first I had tried to get my car out and it wouldn't go nowhere. So then we're like, all right, maybe we should try your car since it's an SUV. Try to get his, it wouldn't go nowhere. So then we went back to mine, and it was like, all right, we just got to push.
Just keep trying. So you pushed it out?
And we finally got it out, and then we made it over to the gym.
You don't even need to work out after that, man.
Yeah,
you're pushing the car out of it.
Loose. We didn't have to stretch.
That might be something Coach Smiley implements now, pushing cars around. That'd be something to do. But you got in. What's practice like before a game like Eastern Washington? I mean, it can't be a ridiculously hard practice, right? I mean, you guys are kind of just going through fine-tuning, I guess, going up against Eastern Washington.
Yeah, for today. So, we'll just go through and kind of go over some of their stuff, just kind of, talking about what they do and the stuff we want to do. And then, spend half the time doing that, and then the other half just kind of, getting our shots right and just kind of getting the feel for the gym and stuff. Just getting our shots right, getting loose, getting the finishing down.
Yeah, that's a big one. Eastern Washington, 6-0 in the conference, 12-7. But you guys kind of get off the schneid. You get that win. You break that losing streak. You beat Portland State. That was a tough one, too. You guys come back late, and you were coming up with some monster shots. Of course, Dalton Connect was everywhere. The big three, you guys all three came up big when you needed to. But talk to us about that mindset, because it's in sports. When you lose a few games in a row, it's tough sometimes, isn't it, to get over that hump, both mentally and physically, but just to finally get that win. So what did that do for this team?
It helped us with our confidence, just knowing that, it showed that, we're still able to just fight and, continue to keep trying to get better. During that streak, it's just more of us, just trying to find any way to win, really. Just trying to bring different things to the table, figuring out what everybody could do just to help us out more, help the team out more, just trying to get that figured out.
Take us through kind of what it's like for you guys. It started back when you go up against CU and then struggle against Air Force. Good game against Air Force, and Air Force is actually, they're tearing it up in the Mountain West Conference right now. Mm-hmm. But just what's that like when you're going through that process, when you're losing games, you're close? I mean, I'm looking at these scores, and for the most part, so many tight games for you guys. You're right there in the mix late. Is it difficult? I mean, are you guys all talking about it, or is it just something where you know you got to get it right at some point? What's that process like for you, Daylen?
It's definitely difficult. I mean, just with our team and our coaching staff, we've never really been a part of losing programs. We're all winners, so that little time period is just kind of difficult for all of us because that's something we're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it's just us trying to just trying to figure it out and trying to stay together and just figuring out what we can do better to. Change the ending of those games. Like you said, those games all kind of came down to the last,
yeah,
3 or 4 minutes. And it's not there are games we had no chance of winning. We definitely had multiple chances of winning. It's just figuring out the small things and tuning up the little things just to give ourselves a better chance when it comes down to the last 3 minutes to win those games.
Yeah, look at all these scores. I mean, even the CU game, you guys were there. That was a tight game for the most part. Air Force was a 2-point game. Weber State was single digits. Same with Idaho State. Montana was a close game too. Sacramento State. So all those close games. So what is it then when you guys are sitting down talking about it? Are there a few bullet points that you guys have really dialed into and said, these are the things that if we can correct these things, we can turn it around now. We can go maybe maybe on a 6-7 game winning streak instead. What are some of those things that you guys have really been working on?
A lot of it is just like on the defensive end, just being more dialed in, like staying dialed in longer. You know, there's some like mental lapses we have where, you know, they may cost about 10 points, you know, 8 points, and we end up losing by 5 or 6 points. So that makes a difference in the game. But just being more dialed in on defense and just bringing more to the defensive end because, you know what I mean, like we're not playing too bad offensively. Like, you know, Dalton's playing well. Some other people are playing well too. Not everybody's playing as well as we hope right now. But, you know, just us staying dialed in and just kind of focusing more on the defensive end and then knowing our offense is going to come because, you know, we're in the gym so much. Like, you know we can make these shots. It's just – it's going to get right as long as we just don't hang our hats on offense, just hang our hats on defense and just kind of using that to, you know, like – give us momentum for the offensive end.
Yeah, because you know you guys, especially the big three, you guys can score. We've seen it. We've seen those big nights from you. But that's the other thing I've always wondered, too, in basketball. You're so athletic offensively. You know you can do it defensively, but that's a mental test, right? You have to really, as you said, dial that in where you are just focused and saying, man, we got to make our money here on the defensive side of the ball. We know the offense will come. We just have to really make that defensive side a big one for us. And you did. I mean, Portland State held them to 67. And in coming back, you were able to get those key stops that allowed for the offensive side to work.
Yeah, exactly. Just now we're just trying to, you know, hang our hats on the defensive end and knowing that, like, that's what's going to take us to the next level. You know what I mean? Scoring is always going to – that's going to be a part of the game. Like, that'll happen. It's going to be nights when you don't make it, nights when you make it. But the thing that has to be consistent every night is the defensive end. You know what I mean? Like, that can't go if we're winning. That can't – you know, that can't drop. Or if we're losing, that can't drop. It has to stay – that has to stay mediocre and just kind of constantly go.
Yeah.
Constantly just rise up.
Daylen, you as a leader on this team, you've been with this program a while. Is that where you take some more responsibility when you see some of those close losses and you string those losses out? Is that where you as a leader step up and say, what are some things I could be doing, not just on the floor, but as a leader to get us kind of gelling on that defensive side and whatever, really getting that chemistry going again?
Yeah, definitely. Just like, you know, like me and Matt, I mean, pretty much all of us, like we talk, you know, but me and Matt the most just because, you know, like we're the two, like man, the two leaders and we're the oldest on the team. It's just like we kind of talk and just kind of figure out like what we feel like, what needs to be better and what we can do to, you know, help out the team. And whether if it's like, you know, like, all right, we're finna try to get a stop every time. Like, you know, like the offense will come. We're not thinking about offense right now. We're just trying to get stops, like, and then whatever happens from there, happens from there. But I mean, just as far as that, and just kind of, you know, when we're going through that streak, just trying to kind of keep everybody together, trying to keep everybody positive. We don't want to, like, everybody to drift apart because, you know, when people start to drift apart, that's when, you know, things start to go downhill. Just trying to keep everybody positive and together as much as we could.
Did you sense any of that drifting apart, or was it we're close enough where we know we're not where we want to be. We know we're not closing some of these games out, but we can ultimately put our best foot forward. Did you feel any division at all in that stretch with some of the losses?
No, it wasn't no division at all, but, you know, it's just like, you know, like I said, everybody come from winning culture. So, like, we, you know, that streak was something, like, we're not used to, like, you know, losing like
that.
So it's just like, you know, everybody knows, like, all right, we need to fix this. It's just like trying to figure out how to fix it and just kind of trying to fix it with urgency.
Yeah, and again, folks, you're listening to the Daylen Kuntz Show here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. You and Matt, of course, when I look at you guys and say, like, oh, you went 0-for-4 from the three-point line against Portland State, but you found other ways to score. You at the end of that game, I mean, you had some monster takes there. One of those late games, I don't know, 3 minutes left or something, you go in kind of a little fake and go up with your left, just a beautiful finish there. Is that where, okay, you know you're going to be shooting better. You know that's going to come. You're a great three-point shooter. But when it's just not falling, is that where you say, okay, I have to really focus on, you and Matt both, focus on taking it to the rim, see if we can get the free throw line, or just create something there?
Yeah, both. I mean, just like I said, like, you know, I'm confident in my shot, and, you know, I've made plenty of shots, and I kind of, you know, I know, like, it's going to go in at some point. It's just staying confident, not letting my confidence waver, but just trying to figure out different things to stay involved in the game, you know. Defensively, like I said, just trying to, if it's steals, rebounds, and just guarding my, you know, guarding my tail off, or, you know, just making plays for others, like, just kind of figuring out a way to impact the game just because, you know, like, people know I could score, so it's not like, you know, they're not guarding me or anything. It's just, like, just still using that to get other people going or for other people to hit shots.
Well, you had four steals in that game, too. So, I mean, that was where I think what you're saying is like, okay, it's not falling right now, but I have to find different ways to really impact this game. And you did with the steals. Five assists for you, six rebounds, and then driving to the lane and getting some of those buckets. You ended up with 14 points in this one. So, I think that's something that all basketball players kind of have to look at, right? Is, okay, if it's not falling, what are some unique ways that I can impact this game?
Yeah, definitely. Just trying to stay involved in the game and not just hanging my hat on scoring. Just like I said, like, scoring's going to come. You know, like, I could score, that'll come. Shots are going to fall, but just trying to impact the game in other ways, knowing that's going to, when that comes, and once it starts flowing, then that's going to flow. But just, you know, just make sure I'm impacting all different ways.
Are there games where you kind of know this guy has it tonight, so I'm going to impact it this way? Like, Dalton had 31 points. He was 6 of 13 from the 3-point line, 11 of 21. Did you kind of get a sense that he was on fire that night? So, okay, you're going to try to kind of work that offense through him a little bit. Is that something where early on you just kind of get a sense when a player's going to go off?
Well, yeah, kind of. It's just kind of having feel for it. Like, you know, I see him hitting shots, and then, you know, I'm not going to miss him when he's open. If I know he's feeling it, he's hit the last few shots, then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to get in here and get them to draw to me, and then I'm going to kick it out. I know he's probably going to make it. Like, just, you know, just kind of playing smart like that, just knowing that, like, just kind of using the defensive stuff against them. You know what I mean? Just knowing that, like, they're probably going to rotate to him hard, so I might have to drive hard, kick it to him, or they might fan out to him hard, so I might have a channel. Just kind of, you know, just playing off it well, just kind of, you know, just playing off each other pretty well.
Sure. And something we've been seeing kind of in the last few games, Coach Smiley messing around, not with you three, but with the lineup too. Getting to see a guy like Connor Creech come in. That's the hard-working dude right there. What's it been like to see him kind of develop over this last season? And now he's getting some real meaningful minutes in these games.
Definitely. It's been good to see him, you know, go through that and kind of developing. He's learning, like, each game, you know what I mean? Just because, you know, before he really didn't – he played minutes, but they weren't as big as minutes he's playing now. But, like, he learns on the fly, and you could kind of see that just over the last couple of games. He's learning on the fly, kind of figuring out, you know, like, what he's out there to do and kind of how to do it, really, though. But it's been good, though. He's, like, been learning, and he's playing really hard. He's hit some big shots, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's just been playing real hard, like, kind of the guy we want on the floor, the guy we need on the floor.
We're getting to that point where, you know, you want to start really honing in and playing some of your best basketball. Here we are already almost, we're over mid-January point, so things are going to get a little bit tighter as we go. You and I were talking before the show just about this conference. I asked you if Eastern Washington was the best team in the conference. Their record says they are, but you're like, dude, it feels like anybody in this conference can win on any given night, which is why you got to be dialed in even more so, especially on that defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was saying, like, you know, every team in this conference is good. Like, I mean, a lot of games it came down to, like, the last, like, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, and there's only been a few blowouts. But for the most part, like, everybody's playing really well this year. Like, you know, the conference isn't the same as it usually been the last couple of years. Like, you know, usually you kind of separate, like, the top and the bottom, but, like, I mean, it's really honestly close. Like, everybody's record is kind of like a few games away from being 3-5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of just, it's a real good league this year.
Well, and this one's big for you guys because, again, Eastern Washington sitting atop the conference, and they've had some close games too. But when you look at this opportunity, obviously it's a chance for you to move up, get that second win in the conference. You know, you have Idaho coming up. Big opportunities at Bank of Colorado Arena for you guys. And this is a big test. Again, I think Eastern Washington, we were talking again earlier, it's a fast team, it's a big team, they got a little bit of everything. So this is going to be one of those games where, like you said, you have to be dialed in defensively, have to find those ways to impact the game if maybe those shots aren't falling early, because this is a really good basketball team.
Yeah, definitely. They're a good team. I mean, like you said, they're big, they're fast. We're definitely going to be challenged on defense at the end of the night as far as being dialed in, just to make sure we're staying locked in.
They were they beat Montana the other night 64-57. Pretty spread out with their starters, at least four guys. I mean, we talked about Venters, and he had 11 points, and he got to the free throw line a few times. But they have their guys. They have two or three guys that are really good. But, you know, a complete team when you look at the starting lineup, the bench, they're getting some production too. So it's a fairly deep team. Like you said, they can get out and run. They can play at that half court game as well. So they kind of have a lot in that utility belt, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. They're a good team, well coached. It's just, you know, it's going to be a good game for us tonight. Going to kind of test us and see where we're at defensively, and then offensively, you know, shots are probably going to fall tonight.
I doubt you can tell us what the starting lineup looks like, but Coach Smiley's kind of been messing with the lineup. Obviously, we know you three guys are going to be in there, but is this like a Brock Wisney-type night where you think he has a big night, or a Theo Hughes, as far as the big men being able to control the paint?
I mean, honestly, both of them. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure. I think Brock will probably start again, but I think this would be a good game for, like, Theo and, like, you know, Jamel coming off the bench. Just because, like, you know, like I said, they're bigger. So, like, you know, there may be sometimes when we need Theo to bang in there, we might need Jamel to bang in there, and Brock's obviously going to play. But, you know, it's just gonna kind of, we're going to kind of see how the night goes, though.
Yeah.
But I think, like, you know, all of them can affect the game in some type of way tonight, though.
And it's a big one tonight at Bank of Colorado Arena. This game getting going at 6 o'clock. We'll have our pregame coverage with Jerry Schimmel at 5:30, so we're certainly looking forward to that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's kind of dial in on Eastern Washington a little bit more. And then the outlook for the next several weeks. Again, these two games are big because you're back out on the road coming up against, I think, Northern Arizona, Montana, and Montana State. So we'll talk more about the upcoming schedule, where we are. I mean, the season moves pretty darn fast, man. I mean, we get to it. So some big games coming up for the University of Northern Colorado. All right, we'll take a short break. It's the Dalen Kuntz Show presented by Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printing. We'll talk more with Dalen coming up on the other side. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. For the day I die, I'm a test this guy. Gotta
testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I said I would never get this far. Think that we don't see who you are. Laughing to the bank like ha, ha, ha.
Welcome back into the Dalen Kuntz Show, presented by Top Shelf Printing and Renaissance Insurance. Normally, we do this show Wednesdays at 11 o'clock, but the pesky weather kind of got in the way of all that, so we're excited to get Dalen back in the studio here. We were just talking a little bit, just to clear some confusion, those wondering about what the Big Sky Conference tournament looks like. Every team gets in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, theoretically, a team that doesn't win any games in the conference is going to get in there. This is all about seeding and setting yourself up, you know, for the best opportunity once you get into that tournament. That's what this regular season's all about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as it gets later, you know, you're trying to get the good seed in. I think first and second.
Get the first round bye.
Get the first round bye, and then everybody else plays, but.
Yeah, and you guys, and again, this is why you still have so many opportunities right now as far as games back from Eastern Washington. You're five games back. You have several games to go. You play Eastern Washington still, obviously, tonight and another time down the road. So there's a lot of opportunities for you guys to set yourself up, maybe get yourself to that middle of the conference, get yourself in those standings, and then you can make a real move. So that's kind of the beauty of this, even though the first portion of the Big Sky regular season wasn't the way you wanted it to go. You have a lot of opportunities to turn it around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, of course, we want to play well now, but, you know, it really comes down to that conference tournament. That's when you want to be playing your best basketball because, I mean, really all you got to do is win three games and, you know, then you could kind of go from there. But, you know, just as we're going on from starting tonight and then each week, just trying to keep getting better and better, closer to playing our best basketball and just figuring it out.
Talk to us about Eastern Washington, as much as you can give us anyway, without giving away the game plan and such. But as we mentioned, you know, it's a team that kind of has a little bit of everything going for them. A big team, they can get up and down the court pretty quickly, and a couple of key players, too. So talk to us a little bit about those guys, maybe what the challenges lie ahead for you tonight, personally and team-wise.
Yeah, some of the keys is just like, I mean, getting back our transition defense. They play fast on makes or misses. Like I said, they're bigger, so they like to play out the post a little bit with some of their guards, their bigs. And then also they shoot it really well from outside, too. So it's like kind of just, you know, taking away threes and then just being able to be solid down in the paint and down low, just making them finish through contact and finish through us, making them work for their buckets down low.
That's what's so tough when you get a team that can play well in the paint, but also they can dish it out to the three-point line. How much is a guard with you, Dalen? Is your assignment going to be to help out, you know, with big guys in the paint, but also keeping those shooters in your peripheral because you don't want to sink too low down into the paint for that assist, for that help? Mm-hmm. You have to be paying attention to the three ball as well. So that's going to be an interesting challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's certain matchups where you could kind of, like, you know, go in and dig out a little bit, but for the most part, like, it would be kind of, you know, sticking around the shooters, just kind of making them want to beat us from the paint, not from three.
So that's where you trust a Brock Wisney or whether it's Melvin in there or a Theo to really be able to handle their assignment, right? I mean, because like you said, you might not be able to provide a lot of help. So you're kind of trusting those big men to handle their guys one-on-one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we trust them down low for them to hold their own and just kind of, you know, make their bigs work. With Theo being as big as he is, he makes people work. Brock plays really hard. Jamel works hard, plays hard with his length. You know, it's hard to finish over them. But, you know, we try some down low, just kind of letting them, you know, hold their own, and then us kind of, you know, deal with the guards and stuff.
It's going to be a big battle tonight for sure. And this kind of speaks to what Daylen was saying about everybody in the conference being pretty tight. ESPN, I just went, they have Eastern Washington favored tonight, but just by 2.5. I mean, I always look at, in basketball, 2.5 pretty much means it's almost like a pick 'em type game. So that goes to show you just how tight this conference is. Eastern Washington 6-0 in the conference. You're 1-5 to start. However, the wise guys look at this game and say, yeah, we think it's going to be a pretty close one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, like, this conference is really good this year, and kind of it could go either way for any of the teams, like, any given night. Like, everybody's pretty good. It's just kind of, you know, who's going to execute and play better that night.
Do you feel like, just based on the record and what you've seen with Eastern Washington on film, do you feel like that is the best team in this conference, or is it a Sacramento State? Weber State certainly making a push. Montana State. How are you looking at this? Or do you just say, you know what, we've had a rough go. We still feel like we can beat any of these guys. When you're looking at the records right now, who do you think is the best team in the conference?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say because I feel like every team's good. Like I said, you know what I mean? Like, definitely they're 6-0. Like, they're a good team. Well-coached team and everything, but, you know, we still feel like that, you know, we could play with anybody in the conference. We have that same confidence. It's just, you know, just us trying to figure out those late-game situations and just get over that hump and, you know, figure ourselves out.
Yeah, and that's the big thing for you, right, that we've talked about, is when you get down to the final stretch, the last 3 or 4 minutes or something like that, being able to really lock in, because odds are you're going to be in every game. I mean, every single game, for the most part, you guys have been right there. So those critical stretches in that three-minute mark or so, it was going to be big, and I probably expect something like that tonight. I would imagine this is going to be a back-and-forth game. Mm-hmm. Should be a really fun one. Glad that snow kind of cleared out for everybody, because this is going to be a good one. 6 o'clock tonight at Bank of Colorado Arena. It doesn't get much better than that, man.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they said, like, Gold Rush night or something.
That's right. You and you and Michael were talking a little bit about that, the Gold Rush night. You're talking about shoes, too. I was actually very interested in that. Gold Rush with the uniforms, but what about the shoes? Do you match? Do you try to sync up the shoes with the uniforms?
Yeah, sometimes it depends. I don't know. It's kind of... We'll pick and see what I'm feeling today. Well,
you're not giving us any hints yet? You don't know which color you're going with?
I don't know. Maybe the gold, maybe some black. I don't know. Just see what will feel better today.
You get a few different options throughout the year, because you guys obviously have UNC has an agreement with Under Armour, so those mm-hmm. are your shoes, right? But you get a few pair, right, at the beginning of the season. You get to go pick them out, pick out the colors and everything?
Yeah, like, we pick them out, like, the year before we pick out, like, the colors we want, and then, like, the whichever two pairs we want, three pairs we want.
What's your favorite one? What's your favorite pair?
I don't know. I really like a lot of Under Armour, but, like, I kind of like, so for me, like, I kind of like, I like the older ones, so I kind of like go and search and kind of look them up on my own. But, like, I mean, I kind of just, I don't know, I'm in the shoes, so, like, I just kind of trying to find, like, the stuff that people don't have.
Are you superstitious at all? If there's a big night you have in a certain pair of shoes, are you like, yeah, I got to keep going with that one? Do you have any superstitions and such before the games?
Nah, not as far as shoes. I just kind of feel like I just wear whatever. Like, if they feel good, then I'm going to wear them. Like,
just,
I'm not really feeling
just
them now,
whatever.
Like, all right, I'm going to just put on something else.
Yeah.
I don't really have too many superstitions.
No, none of the pregame stuff? Like, anything you have to do, like, before a game?
I always got, like, some type of candy. Like, some gummy candies. That's just something I always do before the games. like candies and, like, a blue Gatorade. It's kind of...
Like 30 minutes before the game or something? Or how early?
Yeah, it's kind of like I eat them, like, when I first get to the gym, and then kind of, like, you know, when we go back into the locker room, just grab a few and kind of just eat on them a little bit.
Does anybody have any weird superstitions that they do before the game?
No, not that I could think of.
That's not really a thing anymore, is it? People don't really have... We don't see the LeBron, you know, throw up the powder anymore. We don't have any of that crazy stuff.
We don't got nothing like that. I mean, people probably got some stuff, but we don't got nothing like that. Yeah. Like the LeBron, the powder, nothing like that.
You got to bring the powder out, man. Try it one time. See what happens. Who knows?
No, I can't do that one.
You got to set that up, and you got to be pretty sure about yourself, because if you keep doing it and it doesn't work out, then it's just like, that's the dude that throws the powder up, you know? Doesn't have a great game. So you can't get too crazy with those.
That's LeBron. You can't take that one.
Is that the best one? Is that the best pregame kind of ritual you've seen? Is like,
yeah,
LeBron's?
Definitely.
I mean, it's like got
to
be the most.
Yeah, I think that was cool. I used to have his shirt of, like, it was like a cartoon when he kind of threw the powder up. I used to have a shirt when I was a kid like that. I like that. It was pretty cool.
Handshakes? Anything like that?
Oh, yeah, we do handshakes.
Do you have a different handshake with everybody on the team?
Not everybody, but we're working on some handshakes. But I got a few handshakes with some of the team, though.
How do you remember all of them?
Honestly, I mean, just kind of, we don't make them like, for me, I don't like them too complicated.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Like, simple with a little bit, but I mean, for the most part, just kind of like, just go through and do them.
Just like a quick,
not too crazy.
Two
like,
moves
like
to
quick
it.
One, two, and a little something at the end. But.
What's the most unique one? Can you, what's the, is it with you and Matt or what? What's the most unique handshake you got?
Honestly, I know Matt and, I want to say Matt and Creech have a cool one, I think. I know Matt got a, he got a super cool one. It's pretty cool.
I don't know how you.
I forget who it was with, but he got a pretty cool one, though.
I always see players do it, and I'm like, how do you guys remember all those things? I can barely just remember. I can just barely remember to do a regular handshake, let alone you got all these moves going into it. Yeah. And then typically they are kind of unique with different teammates and stuff, so you got to try to remember it. Do you do one with any of the coaches or anything like that?
No,
coaches, stay back on that one. No secret handshakes with the coaching
staff. Yeah, just
through
the players.
All right, Dalen, we'll finish up with you on the other side, man. A big win again tonight against Eastern Washington. So don't go anywhere. We'll continue kind of talking about that one and what the rest of the schedule really looks like for UNC. How can they take what they did against Portland State, really use that going forward, and find a way to put together a nice conference record here to set themselves up in the best way possible for that tournament. 35 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
I want to rock right now. I'm raw bass and I can't to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the mic.
Big one tonight for the University of Northern Colorado. Getting ready to take on the Eastern Washington Eagles, 6-0 in the Big Sky Conference. But as we've kind of been talking about, this should be a barn burner tonight at Bank of Colorado Arena. Game starts at 6 o'clock. Jerry Schimmel will be on the call with the pregame show at 5:30. And I think this is going to be a back-and-forth game, a tight one. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be a big night for Dalen Kuntz. That's what I think. I think it's going to be a big night for you, my friend.
Yeah, it should be good. As long as I come in and focus, it'll turn out fine.
I think so. I think it's going to be a special night for sure. Okay, before I let you go, we got to talk about little NFL playoffs because your team, of course, you're getting back at it. You're a Chiefs guy. Mm-hmm. Michael loves that about you, by the way, that you love the Chiefs so much. Chiefs, Jaguars. What do you think, man? I mean, we saw the Jags pull off some magic last week. Are they going to do it this week against your Chiefs?
I would say no. Me being a Chiefs fan, I'm going to say no. Hopefully they don't pull it off, but I got faith in the Chiefs, though.
Is Patrick Mahomes, do you think he's the best in the league still? Is he the best quarterback in the league?
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to end up being what we've talked about. It's probably going to end up being the Chiefs and the Bills, and that's going to be...
That'll be a good one.
That'll be a good one. That should be a lot of fun.
That'll be a real fun game.
What'd you think of their like little ring around the rosy thing that they did a couple of weeks ago
that
before
cool.
the huddle?
Like
did you
that.
Like that?
That
you
like
got
that.
You got into that? Yeah. No,
that was different.
I think it's all interesting. You're just seeing teams trying to go out there and have fun too,
yeah,
and make
exactly.
this. I mean, we're hearing the guys mic'd up a little bit more, and it just seems like maybe in a good way, players and such aren't taking it so seriously all the time. They're out there having fun, which I think makes a better product on the field.
Yeah, definitely. When you have more fun with it, then it kind of makes you play more freely. You kind of just, having fun with it.
All right, so we were talking about, what was the guy's name? The CU assistant, Brister? Brister? I don't know if you saw this video, but I've talked to you a little bit about primetime and stuff. Did you see it? Did you see Brister, one of the assistant coaches? He was talking to the team, and it was like, felt like military, man.
Yeah,
he's like, get up, get down. What are you like? I can talk about it until I'm blue in the face, but I've never been a college athlete. What do you make of that kind of stuff? Does that style, obviously, Steve Smiley's not that way. I can't imagine him being like, Dalen, sit up, sit down, stand up, whatever. What did you think of that?
I mean, to me, that's different. I've never really like been on a team or really seen nothing like that.
Would you respond well to that kind of coaching?
I mean, I feel like I'd respond well to any coach.
You're pretty coachable.
I wouldn't go against or nothing. It would be definitely different. I'd kind of be like, what's going on?
But I mean, yeah.
I'd be thinking that, of course. Like, I mean, but.
Were any of different. Your, did you ever have coaches like that that were, I mean, if you're a head coach at any level, you have a moment or two where you're pretty rough on guys, right? We get that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been through, I've had coaches where they're rough. Like, I mean, I've definitely had
like that kind of style, too, where it's
not like.
Not
like the stand up, sit down, not that type, but like I've had coaches that's been rough on me for sure, though, like since I was since I was little, though.
And you're, like I said, you're coachable. I mean, you're, you're, like I said, coaches really appreciate you because you're a coachable guy. But there's got to be a style you respond to a little bit better, right? And I, listen, when I say Smiley's a nice guy, that doesn't mean he doesn't get after it. I've seen him on the sidelines. He can get after it, too. He can rip and roar. He can yell. But for the most part, he's kind of more of a positive enforcer, wouldn't you say? More of a positive type influence.
Yeah, definitely. He's always positive. And, like, you know, when he needs to get after you, he's going to get after you for sure. But, I mean, he's just, yeah, like I say, like, he's positive. He's nice. I mean, but, you know, when he has to get after you, he's going to get after you for sure.
With Tad was like, what was Tad like? Was he harder on you guys like that? Was he more military type? Or was he kind of light on everybody, too? But when he needed to, he would get upset.
Both. I mean, of course, like, you know, every coach got the, you know, the nice side of them. And every coach got the side, you know, like, when they're mad, like, you're going to feel it. But, I mean, like, he was a good coach. I mean, he's nice. But, you know, when he got on you, he got on you. Like, you didn't feel that.
You want to be coached, though, right? I mean, like,
yeah, definitely.
Most guys that you hear that are successful, that are good at their craft, they want coaches to coach them, which means sometimes you kind of got to get into me, even if I'm maybe not responding well at that point. I need that going forward.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I always felt like I'd rather have, you know, coaches be on me and kind of, you know, like, just kind of being on me and, like, you know, on my head, just because I feel like that means they care about me versus if, you know what I mean, they're not saying nothing or not saying nothing at all. They're kind of just like, maybe they don't care as much. But, you know, I always feel like if the coach is on you and saying something, that means they care about you. So it's not like they're doing it because they're mad at you or they hate you or anything. It's just because they care about you. They want to see you be a better player, a better man, better person. Like,
so you didn't really have a major issue seeing seeing Brister talk to the team like that? Or you just kind of thought it was interesting?
Thought it was interesting. It wasn't like, it was just, I'd never seen nothing like that. Like,
well, they're
like
filming everything they do. I mean, you guys don't film. I mean, again, I get it, it's prime time and stuff, but this is what's going to be unique with them is
everything's going to be on camera.
They're going to put everything on camera, stuff that people are like, some guys you hear and say, well, yeah, that coaches are like that all the time. They just don't put it on camera.
And so, I would say it probably is the truth. Like, you know, it's probably like always been like that. It's just the world never got to see it. Like, I don't know. Just, yeah, it's definitely different. That's a different thing. I've never seen nothing like that before. But I've had coaches that, like, you know, like, always kind of been on me and kind of pushing me.
Well, I feel like sometimes football coaches get a little bit harder. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Football coaches seem like they get a little bit harder on guys than basketball coaches. I mean, basketball coaches can get after you, but it just seems like football, it's more of like that. It feels like that military style.
Yeah, kind of. But I still, like I said, I had some coaches that's like, they really get after me, though. But it's always been love, though. But I had some coaches, like, since I was young, they got after me.
And you, how did you always respond well to it? Or were you like, golly, this guy is just getting after me? I mean, how did you always?
I mean, at first, it's just different, like, you know. But, like, I kind of got used to it because, like, I always had, like, pretty kind of coaches that always been on me since I was younger. So, like, kind of just used to it. It's just like, I know I need to be better. Like, they want me to be better, so I'm going to be better.
Part of that process, I guess, yeah. Huh? Well, it was interesting. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, I don't know if I like it.
Yeah,
But then we played it back yesterday, and I kind of, I don't know, I kind of felt pumped up by it, but I was hearing it. Watching was a little different, too, because you're seeing these guys, like, sit down, stand up, get your butt down, and all that stuff. It was pretty intense, man.
Yeah,
it's
that
intense.
Was different. Like, I never seen them like that. It was just like, that's different. Like, I never seen them like that.
So I guess he coached in the, he had stints in the NFL too, not as a head coach, obviously, but Danny Cannell, former NFL quarterback, called him out on Twitter and said, there's a reason this guy can't coach at the NFL level because they wouldn't respond well to him. Well, he wrote back and said, I had several successful stints in the NFL. Just ask Antonio Gates. So I don't know. I can't imagine a coach telling a bunch of, you know, multimillionaires to sit down, stand up, and all that stuff, right? There's no way that's going to happen. Can you imagine if Andy Reid is or Eric Bieniemy is telling Patrick Mahomes to sit down? And like, there's no way that's happening, man.
Yeah, I don't know. As far as like the NFL side, I don't really see that happening too much. But honestly, who knows? Because I mean, it might happen, might not, but definitely I would see that more in, like, the college setting, though. But
yeah.
I don't know if I would see, like, you know, multimillionaires doing that.
It was interesting. It has us talking. I even had the voice of the Buffs on yesterday, Mark Johnson. You know him. He was like, you could hear it in his voice. He's like, you know, I don't have the biggest problem with it. I'm just saying not everything should be on camera. Probably
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I feel like that, too.
Everything's
for the cameras.
Well, yeah, Mark brought this point up, and you tell me what you think of it. He said, my fear is that these that the opposing coaches that are they're recruiting against them, right, are going to show the moms that video and be like, is this how you want your kid to be treated? And I thought, I think some moms might want their kid to be coached hard. They want them to go to the next level. But I think there are other moms that are like, don't be talking to my baby like that. You know what I mean? So what did you make? What do you make of that? Like, maybe they use that against them at some point and show the other, show the players and their families, like, this is how they talk to their guys. What do you think of that?
I mean, you can kind of go either way with it. Like, I feel like more people might have more issues, like, with the camera part of it, just, like, everything being recorded. But, I mean, once you get to that level, you can't really control a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because definitely, I feel like, you know, like, I know, like, how my parents were. They wanted, like, me to go somewhere where, like, you know, they always felt like they could help me be a better man and always be, like, a, you know, like, be honest with me, you know, and not sugarcoat things. So, like, it kind of depends on, like, you know, what the specific parent want, but, like, I don't know. The camera thing is the only thing that's kind of different. Like,
yeah.
To me, just like everything is on camera. You know what I mean? Not like just some stuff. Like everything is like being recorded at all times.
Well, and it's not like every kid. And again, I get it. If you're signing up to play with Primetime, like, now you should know. But you don't know until you know, I guess. You're there and you're like, oh, they're literally filming everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm getting yelled at right now. I'm getting screamed at. And now we got to see that. So I'll be curious to see how far they take this, how much they're really going to film. Because you know all these documentaries and stuff are coming out.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about, which is, I suppose, it has its positives and negatives to it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just, yeah, if you want to go to Primetime, it's kind of like you're just kind of taking everything that comes with it. Like, you know, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. It's just like you're taking that.
That's what you know.
Yeah.
All right, my friend Dalen, we're looking forward to this one tonight. Go have a brilliant game, my friend. This is a big one against Eastern Washington, again, at Bank of Colorado Arena. I'll have tickets to give away to that game a little bit later on in the show. We just wish you the best of luck, man. We'll be dialed into this game. Can't wait to see it, and just the best of luck to you, okay?
Thank you. It'll be a good one tonight.
All right, my man. Dalen Kuntz, he got out okay. His car's driving on the roads just fine now, so nothing's stopping him tonight. I think he's going to have a monster game tonight going up against Eastern Washington. 11:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. Speaking of coaches, let's get into the Sean Payton stuff a little bit more. That's our poll question of the day. Does the Bounty Gate background stuff with Sean Payton, are you concerned about that in terms of what you're looking for in the next head coach of the Denver Broncos? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. I want to shout out to one of our great sponsors, and that's On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week every single week. This one's from New Belgium Brewing, Voodoo Ranger Fruit Force IPA. That's a long one there. You can get selections from New Belgium at On the Rocks Liquor or any of your favorite adult beverages. And then check this out. Write this on your calendar. January 28th, owners John and Tony are celebrating 12 years with On the Rocks Liquor, as the owners of On the Rocks Liquor. There's going to be door prizes and giveaways all day long. So do me a favor, check out our friends On the Rocks Liquor. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, I've kind of been, I decided, you know, I've been thinking about this the last 2 weeks, about Sean Payton and Bounty Gate, the way he left New Orleans. I'm starting to have more issues with it as we progress through this. I didn't think it was going to be a reality. I really didn't. I didn't think that the Broncos would go for it with the draft picks. I didn't think that Sean Payton, honestly, would think the Broncos would be a valuable job to him. But now as we're getting a little further in this, and it sure seems like with Harbaugh out, that Sean Payton is the number one candidate for the Broncos, that they want him the most, they would be willing to pay $23 to $26 million a year for a head coach. Jim Harbaugh, you missed the boat, man. You wanted $9 million? You wanted Saban money? You could have come in and got $23 to $25 million more than Bill Belichick money. So it does sound like they'd be interested in paying the freight, and also they'd be willing to give up the draft picks that it's going to take. First rounder, maybe next year's second rounder, and a third rounder in that mix. But I'm just asking the question today. Do you have any issues? And again, the poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Do you have any issue with Sean Payton's Bounty Gate background when considering him for the next Broncos head coaching job?
Yeah, and there's definitely concern there. How, you know, we can go back and forth on how much influence he had. Did he know what was going on? Regardless, you were the head coach of the Saints at that time. You are going to get a lot of the blame. Your assistants, whatever, if they're still in the league, it doesn't matter. You are the head coach. You are still up for head coaching jobs. This still falls on you. And, you know, was it the time? Was it the way we were in society back then? Was it, you know, we didn't know a lot about injuries in the NFL at that point, so we could kind of just brush it off. But now you bring it into 2023, the perspective of it changes, and it's not acceptable.
People have forgotten, though. That's the way that's the way the NFL continues to operate. Big things happen, scandals happen, and we just move on. Whether it's Deflategate or it's Deshaun Watson stuff or it's Sean Payton. Now, again, the other thing that bothers me with Sean Payton, and I talked about this a little more yesterday. It's not that it's not even the thing that did he know about it, did he not? I'm going to say right now, I don't think he knew about it. I think Greg Williams created this whole scheme on his own. And then did it. And then I think, but then I think they got savvy to it and found out it was happening and then didn't stop it. And then I also think Sean Payton lied about it. When they first investigated this, all the staff said, no, that's not happening. They tried to kind of cover it up. And so that's a big deal. We've gone through worse and we've allowed players to come back and play. It's happened, but I'm just, it's a thought. And then also the way he left New Orleans. The Saints were in shambles when he left. No more Drew Brees. Salary cap issues. It wasn't looking like they were going to be back into the playoff mix for a while. So he got out. Sean McVay, same situation. The Rams hadn't been building through the draft. They spent a lot of money on free agents. McVay looked at his future and said, I could go to TV. He ultimately decided to come back. And I like what he had to say. You know, I got to finish what I started here. I can't leave when the going gets tough. Sean McVay stuck with it and is sticking with it. Sean Payton didn't. And the other thing is the risk factor. You're going to do all this again, and if it doesn't work, you've made two of the biggest moves, of the worst moves in the history of the NFL. Second hour coming up next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.